Mishra Asa Chodesh, somebody saw the new moon, Ve'eno Yochel Lahalech, and he can't walk. Molichin Oso Al Chamor, you bring him on a donkey. Watch the lights for you, make sure they keep going on and off. Afilu Mamita, even in a stretcher, Im Tzodeh Lohem, if there's an ambush, in other words, there's potential violence along the way, Lochim Biyodeh Maklos, they take in their hands sticks, right, weapons. If it's very far away, they take food. Now, this is even on Shabbos. Obviously, a weekday, it's no Chiddush. But it's Mechal Shabbos in all these fashions. If they can get to the court within a day, night and a day, meaning by the following sunset, then you desecrate the Shabbos. The Yaitzim Ladies of Chorosh, you go out to testify in the new moon. Shneamar says, Eilam Odeh Hashem Yikrei Kodesh. These are the Yom Toim of God. They should be called at the proper time. And Moed means even on Shabbos, Yom Mechal Shabbos, in order to properly fix the Luach.
This is a sign from Nisan and Tishrei.
All of them. This is for the Edim, though, not for the Shluchim.
Yeah,
it's the witnesses. The Gemara is going to say explicitly, either here, in a few lines. Amrei Beitzer. Beitzer says, Dibra Torah b'chol loshon. Now, nobody understands exactly what this means. Everybody's different interpretations. But the Rashbon, in its Tshuva Spirit, which is cited here by the Gilin HaShas, says that what it means is that the Torah will use a word in a secondary meaning, which is not its primary meaning. B'chol loshon means that in ways other than the primary way. And the examples of that are both in the Torah and the Mishnayos. For in the Torah, it's Va'ish Mishtoy Allah. It says, by Eliezer, the man was waiting for her to see what's going to happen. Now, the word Sho'ah, Shin Aleph Hey, is a word which means destruction, as in Sho'ah. But here it's used not in the destructive sense, but rather in the sense of yearning or looking forward with anxiety. So it's another secondary meaning for the word Sho'ah, which is being used in this pasuk. Okay? Kol Garav, another word which has a secondary meaning, is Garav. The word Garav in Torah itself means what? Torah itself, what does the word Garav mean? Vayikra. It's a type of Taras. Or Garav or Yalefis. So it's a type of Taras. But it also means, in Mishnah language, Kom Garav Shu Machzik Sasayim. A guru, we have pitchers which hold two or containers which hold two saw. So we see the word garav, which means in Tanakh tzaras, a form tzaras, actually means in Mishnayos, means a jug, a pitcher. So we have again words which have other meanings than the primary meanings. And here too, im tzoyte lohem, lochim biyada maklus, word tzoyte normally means what? What's the hunter, right? So it means if there's danger or violence along the way. So we have words which have multiple meanings in Hebrew language. That's the moral of the story. Now here's the question. Do we say just like your Mechal Shabbos for the Edom to come to Beis Din? So to the Shluchim are Mechal Shabbos in order to go notify people that Rosh Chodesh has been fixed. Tamalomar Sher Tikru'u. The ones you should call. Al Kriyasan Mechal Shabbos, on calling them, meaning on setting Rosh Chodesh, you fix you Mechal Shabbos. Ainat Mechal Shabbos Lodi Shis Kaimu. But you're not Mechal Shabbos to tell people when Rosh Chodesh was made. So it's only one direction to get to Yerushalayim, but not to go from Yerushalayim to tell people that it was made. That's not as urgent. Rashim and Lakish Boy, now, it's an interesting question here. Shmuel is going to address essentially till almost to the end of the parak. Rishim Lakish asks, Omer Shabbos B'Yoyim. Now, you're supposed to harvest the Omer at night. And harvesting the Omer at night is Doicha Shabbos. If the second day Pesach comes on Shabbos, so you're supposed to be Doicha at night to go and cut the Omer. What happens if you miss the night time? Can you do it in the morning? That's the worst question. Or is it only Doicha Shabbos at the proper time? Right, we say things which it says b'moyad though or docha Shabbos, but what about it at the wrong time? Now, really, there's an abstract question which underlies this Gemara and the subsequent few passages of the Gemara. The underlying question is: in a day, in a 24-hour day, are the night and day considered to be one unit, or are they two separate units? And therefore, if you're told you're mechayel Shabbos in day at night, can you do it during the day of the same date? And vice versa, you mechayel Shabbos during the day, can you do it the night before of the same date? Okay?
This kind of raises another question. I guess I didn't realize that Sierra Somer wanted to think that it's an issue of a seidah halo taseh, but obviously it's not.
It's a special there is a kasuv. The chorish of katzir tishpos, right? Only chorish and katzir shorushus, not chorish and katzir shor mitzvah. It's not because of Esei Dochalos, I say.
Because otherwise you'd run against Shabbos.
Right. Especially it's because of Esei Dochalos Shabbos. Okay? So says Gemara, Hesef Rabbi Abayi, gee, I never saw it before.
Rabbi?
Yeah, it's probably a mistake. It's probably supposed to be Rav Yeva. I didn't even notice that. It's supposed there is an Amoran who's named Rav Yeva. So I assume that's who it is, not Rabbi Abayi, because we don't know any Abayi except for the famous Abayi, and the Yerushalmi didn't know about that Abayi. So, Heis Rabbi Abayi, Vatinian, didn't we learn? Mitzvah, so Liktzor Balayla. It's mitzvah to harvest at night, but Niktzor Bayom Kosher. But to harvest at night, during the day, it's Kosher, but Derech HaShabbos. It says that during the day, it's Derech HaShabbos. So we see explicitly a push of Shabbos, even if it's done during the day. Says Gemara Velo Kibla, Rav Shimon Lakish did not accept this proof. You know why not? Because he said you can learn to read the Brisa differently. Say it's Doicha Shabbos if it's done at night. Read it like this: V'Doicha Shabbos when it's done at night, right? So maybe it's going on when it's done at night. That's Doicha Shabbos, and that's done during the day. Or maybe Doicha Shabbos is a new thing. It's talking about the sacrifice of the Omer, because the sacrifice of the Omer is during the day, and it's Doicha Shabbos. But you have no proof from here, no evidence regarding what that halacha would be if you didn't do the Ktzir Omer at night. Can you be Derech Shabbos during the day? Rabbi Yachon said, Chazer Rishimen Lakish Min Hador. Rishimen Lakish changed his mind and says, it is Derech Shabbos even during the day from the following Braisa. It's or a Mishnah, whatever it is. It's a Mishnah. Kevachachach Sheikh Omerlan Ba Shemesh. So this is talking about the process of how you come to cut the Omer. Once the sun sets, the person in charge says, is the sun set? Omer Hin. Yes, they say yes. Ba Shemesh. I'm sorry. Omer Hin, Ba Shemesh, Omer Hin. Ba Shemesh, Omer Hin. Then it asks again, did the sun come? So what is this asking a second time? It's redundant, right? Again, it says, when it says once it gets dark, Armelin Ba'ashemesh, he says, did the sun come down? Oymerin, they say yes. Ba'ashemesh, and then again they ask, Oymerin, again they say yes. Manan Kayomin, what are we talking about the second time? Imalayla Kfaru Oymer, right? It's talking about whether the sun set. We already asked Ba'ashemesh, did the sun set. What's the second ask Ba'ashemesh? Elohim must be telling us that if you miss the nighttime, then it is Doicha Shabbos even during the daytime. And the second Bar Shabbos is really if the sun rose already, in which case certainly you better hurry up, but you still have to be Doicha Shabbos in order to harvest the Yomer. Okay? Now, Davar Shusha Shashu. What?
The lingua is from a procedure
Right. It's not from an actual pasuk, just from a precedent. That's right. Now, says the the truth is that I have to in the name of intellectual honesty, not related to your question, but the Korban Eda is much more expansive on this proof. He says the proof is from a much more elaborate series of phrases in the Brisa over there in Menachos, one of which is redundant. But not, he says, the way the Gemara reads is not the precise way in which the Brisa is structured there. He says it's structured somewhat differently. The bottom line is that there's an extra question or an extra statement, the way the Korban Eda actually is, it's an extra statement that Doicha is Shabbos, which is obvious. We know it's Doicha Shabbos because it says there the way the Brisa is structured, the way the Korban Eda brings it down. We ask on Shabbos, is the nightfall yet? And he says yes. And then he says again, and then it says afterwards, and it's Leicher Shabbos. But we already know it's Leicher Shabbos because he already said that the guy in charge asked, has night fallen, meaning that it's already Shabbos. So therefore, the Gemara responds, therefore, the second time around, it said when it says Leicher Shabbos, must be coming to us that it's Leicher Shabbos even during the day. So it's a different proof than the Gemara itself brings down. The bottom line is that there's excess verbiage there, and that indicates to us that it's Leicher Shabbos even during the day. Okay, now, top of the Yura Meralf, Dover Shudorz the Shabbos B'yom, Machshir Maushit Chos the Shabbos B'layla. For instance, you have Karbonos, which you do during the day. And the Dorcha Shabbos during the day. Okay, do the Machshirin to prepare the Karbonos from the night before. Or do I say, this is the opposite of the case which is held with Reish Lakish, must you wait for the day to come until you actually do the Machshirin? So says the Gemara, V'atninon, isn't it explicit? It says, when the Kohen Gadol had to bring the pancakes every day, so that during the night time, before dawn, they used to take the pancake makers and put the pancake makers in the pancake room in order to start making the pancakes before daybreak. So we see that even though the pancakes only do Shabbos during the day, you start making the night before. Says Maru says, no. Tan Rabbi Chia, because that's in Masech the Tomid. And Rabbi Chia learned about all Masech the Tomid. Ze say the Tomid la avoda space lokenu. This is the order of Tomid for the service in our divine temple. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. So even on Shabbos, this is the same order we would follow. So we see it's like Shabbos even before daybreak. Even though the primary mitzvah is during the day, you're ready to do Shabbos for the preparations the night before. V'atninon, and this is also another proof. This is not a kasha. It's really it's a proof. V'atninon, we also learned that a Mishnah, katsru v'nasnu b'kupos, they harvested the carbon omer at night, which is proper. They put it into baskets. Have you lazar? They brought tazara for you. Mahavavino sabur. They toasted it at night in a fire. The kain bo mitzvahs kol, because it says that the carbon omer should be toasted and then ground up in the flour. So what do we see? When did they grind it? And then when did they toast it? At night. But the mitzvah of carbon omer of sacrificing the omer is only the next day. So therefore, we see that you can do the preliminaries even at night. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Mikavod sheyischu b'mitzvah omri lo marek. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not the reason, because this is not Rabbi Yossi the Tana, this is Rabbi Yossi the Amora. Rabbi Yossi the Amora says it's not a proof from there. He says, because there, since he started the Ktsira Omer is Dochel Shabbos at night. So once he started being Dochel Shabbos, so he continued being Dochel Shabbos and also do the toasting of the Omer night. But our question is, where the actual Dchia Shabbos only begins formally after daybreak. Can he begin the process the night before? And that we have no resolution from there. Okay? Says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Yehudin Kaputkaya. Rabbi Yehudin Kaputkaya asked, Kumi Rabbi Yossi in front of Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi, I don't say what's not a good proof. Hagatzmecha, analyze this in the following case. Shebamin Aliyah. Let's say it's a year, there's some years in which they didn't have a harvest special for the Korban Omer. They had already cut grain. So then you nevertheless toasted from the night before. So Mikame Shisra Mitzvah Enom Rilo Marek, right? There's no mitzvah which he began to tell him to finish, right? So therefore it's evidence that you can begin the machshirin even if you haven't yet begun a part of the process, which is actually itself Dochel Shabbos. You can begin the machshirin and continue the machshirin the night before for a mitzvah which is going to be Dochel Shabbos during the ensuing day.
This whole phrase, kibbutz sheisul mitzvah omer lo marek, is not a legalistic principle at all. It's like, since the whole thing is shot, let's shoot the whole wad.
No, it is. It's like came to the Nitner Shabbos Litchos. It's the Chuya.
But each and every time we do something,
That's what he's saying here. In a chanami, it's not. Since the process of the Omer has begun, and it will finish, so therefore it's one long process in which Shabbos is pushed aside.
Well, I understand that's what it's saying. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like.
By the way, this is the source of the statement which we have, a maskil mitzvah amrin lo gemor. It doesn't appear anywhere, that phrase. This is the phrase. I mean, she came, she's a mitzvah amrin lo marek. Okay, because this is the Aramaic for the same phrase. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Susi asked, then we have a proof from our Mishnah that it can be Dorech Shabbos at night for mitzvah the next day. Because when do you testify in court about Rosh Chodesh? The next day. But it says you can be Mechal Shabbos the night before and travel through the night to get to Yerushalayim. So we see the preparations are Dorech Shabbos even from the night before, right? Then we learn in our Mishnah, Shamach Laila V'yom. And travels of a night and a day, Mechal Nesar Shabbos. You Mechal Shabbos, V'yotz Nesachos, you go on your way to testify in Yerushalayim. Amar Lan, so he said to them, Mikema Chayom, no, here it's different. Because here, Mikema Chayom Tzorech L'layla, since the travels require all the available time. The night needs the day, V'layla Tzorech Yom, and the night, the day needs the night, and the night needs the day. Kamosha Kul Yom, it's as if you're traveling through, as if it's all one day. Meaning that here, there's no dichotomy between night and day because you know all need all available time to travel and reach your destination. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Bar Abun. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Abun said a different answer. Very cute. He says, hey, when you make Rosh Chodesh at the end of the day, when does it become Rosh Chodesh from retroactively? For the beginning of Shabbos, right? So actually, it was Chilul Shabbos at night for the night. Because retroactively, the night became Rosh Chodesh, right? So therefore, it's true, you only testify the next day. But that testimony works retroactively from the night before. Became a true Kadosh, l'mafreyahu yom u'layla. Retroactively, it applied to both the day and the night. Okay? Next, new parak. Imei makirin oso. What? Let's say the basin doesn't know this witness. They don't know who this guy is. So he sent with him another guy to testify that he's a good guy. Okay? So if that, you know, you have to provide him with a somebody to vouch for him. Reference, right. But Yishani Mekam made this Chodesh Mikol Adam. Originally, he used to accept the testimony on the new moon from any individual. Mishakikla, meaning once the Apikorsim started sending erroneous testimony, well, how that happened, we will see. His kiddush loy mekavim el makirin. They only accepted testimony from people they knew. Similarly, Barishani Masih Masilas originally, that instead of sending emissaries to the Gola, they used to just make bonfires along the way as a kind of relay signal. The Shekil Kutim, once the Samaritans ruined that and started setting bonfires on their own, so then he'd kiddush shluchim yotzi. They decide they're going to send emissaries instead. So Rabbi Yehuda said, "Hochin tzurcha mitzni." This is the way to read the Mishnah, because the Mishnah seems to be topsy turvy. First, it says they need a makir, and then it says originally he didn't need a makir. So what does it mean? So this is what it means today. Barishani makal meidus chosh mikodam. Originally, he used to accept testimony from anybody. Imena makir and also, if they didn't know him, so then. So actually, he switched around the mission. He says, and however, if he was not known, then he would send somebody. Now, along comes the next opinion, Rabbi Yisamar, you can even read our mission without changing it around. I see it works out. So if they don't know, you send somebody else with him. Why? That originally they used to accept testimony from anybody. Now, it's not clear here, and the Mefarshim see that difficulty. Is there a machlokas of substituting Rabbi Yoina and Rabbi Yosa or not? I think there is. In the Korvanate, it sounds like there's a substantial machlokas, meaning the Rabbi Yoina said that originally they would accept testimony from everybody if they recognized it. And that's where originally they needed to have, from the get-go, people who came to testify that this is the right guy, this is a legitimate guy, we vouch for him, a reference, as you said. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. Rabbi Yehuda said, originally, we accepted testimony for anybody even without a voucher. Even without a person to vouch for him. Guy comes, looks for him, we accept his testimony. Then, the Tzedokim or Mekalka, then they started requiring vouching references. Okay? So I think, again, the name Moshe seems to say it's just a question of how to read the Mishnah, whether to switch around the phrases. But I think there is a substantial machlokas here. What was the default assumption before the Tzedokim came along, that even then we needed somebody to recognize him, or if we saw a person who looks reasonably upstanding, we accepted him without any questions. Okay? Ve'ed echon ne'mon. Ask Gemara, look, okay, if you need a voucher, a reference, how many people should you need as references? Two. Yeah. Need eight is that he's a good guy. What? Why is it less than eight? Why? Rosh Hashanah Shabbos is kashrus. That's Gemara's question. Obviously, Gemara's not going to remain with that, right? Maybe what you're saying is through the Gemara's answers. Gemara's answer. So it says, "Mishochah naslulach." Literally, it's a phrase which means we gave you what you had. What it means here is that it's only a chumah d'rabbanan to require testimony that the guy's okay, right? So Rabbanan, hey, Mom, Ravemu, they said we're going to require a testimony on the guy that he's a good guy, but one witness will suffice. Okay? So as you said, you only need a credibility here, you don't need true edus, that the on the aid of the Chodesh, you need to have one witness that he's okay, not more than that. Okay? So it says, okay, again, they gave it to you from your own account. Really, you shouldn't require him at all. They say eight echod neman, one is enough. Okay, eight echod maushi and neman kishnai. Now the shaila is one witness should he be believed as two. Now obviously it's not talking about the guy who comes to testify. This guy is kosher because obviously we just say you only need one. Rather, it means. The way the Hagos on the bottom from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Landau, that's all the way in the bottom, the Hagos Agrim says, means, let's say one of the guys is face. Rav Eliyashiv. And the other guy is Beryl Shmerel. So can Rav Eliyashiv come and testify in the new moon? And testify that Beryl Shmerel is a valid aid. You understand? Can he do both functions? What? He might have been, but the thing is, since we're saying anyway to require the aidus on the other guy is only the Rabbanan, so therefore maybe we're making him say that let this guy do both parts. Okay, that's a question. Hey Chavita, what's the case? This is the case I just described to you. There are two of them. Echad akom akirna, so everybody knows Rav Yoshiv. Echad eno demakir, and the other, none of them know. So now, there's the Gemara here, the Agos in the bottom, the Agos Agrim, it says the Gemara is all messed up now. Now we should have the phrase, go to the next page, on the fourth line down. Mao shiyasak echad min ashuk loyedalov. This is the end of the question. Can Rav Yoshiv, in the case I gave, become like somebody else, like a third party, to testify against, for the other witness, right? Mao Shiasa Kehom Yishu Loyalov. Says Mar, no, can't work. In K, Nim Seis Ko Eidus Miskemis Beidecho. Because if that's the case, all the testimony is fulfilled by that one aid. And we know that doesn't work. You have to have 50% of the testimony based on each witness. And here, Rav Yoshiv really is ultimately sustaining. The entire, in my case, Eliyashiv is sustaining Beryl Shmerel's testimony, so everything is coming on his basis. That is not tenable. We can't allow that, right? So it says the Gemara, going back to where we were. Oh, not going back to where we were before. That's going to come in a minute. Now, going to the second line on this page, at the end of the day, I'll have read all the lines on the page, but not in order. So now, going back to the second line of the page, Lo Tzur Chada Ella. That's not a kasha. Rather, a question like this, not by Yidus HaChodesh, by a regular case. Are you Shnaim? There are two people. Are you Shnaim? There are two signatories out of document. Two signatories in a document. Again, the same two people. Echad Akomakir and Ksav Yodo. Everybody knows that's Rav Yashiv's signature, right? Everybody knows that's his. Ve'echad ain't the makiro. The other signature nobody recognizes. Chavero makiro. The friend recognizes it. Okay? So the shaila is, what about the other friend who recognizes it? Now here we go back to over here. Go back to the second to the last line on Yudav Beis. Chavero makiro, right? Chavero maushit tayim macher min hashugel haidala. Now it's Rav Yashiv's signature. We don't need testimony on, because everybody knows Rav Yashiv's signature. It's not a problem. So Rav, let's divorce Rav Yashiv from his own signature. Can Rav Yashiv now join with another aid from the shuk? Because remember, here we need true verification. Not just one aid, but two aidim, because it's a signature on a document. Could Rav Yashiv join in with somebody else and verify the other guy's signature? That's our question. Again, since Rav Yashiv is so famous that his signature needs no verification, can he now join as verifying the other guy? Right. So it's as if he's not sustaining the entire edus, because he's not doing Beryl Shmerel and himself, because what's doing himself is his signature, not him. Right. It's schizophrenic. We're distinguishing between his signature and himself. His signature is half of it, and he's helping the other half, but it's not. It's all of it's happy result of him. Okay? So Rabbi Zira, Rav Chunin B'Shem, Rav said, no. Einu v'achem mitzdaif, v'na chasima say to sheni. Nice try, no cigar. He and the other guy cannot join on the other signature. Again, because the way the Gemara Ksuva says, and Bavli says, it comes out, Nake rivot b'moyna puma d'chad sa'ato. Does that ring a bell, that statement? That means what? 3/4 of the testimony. Nakiriva means 1/4 less than the whole thing. 3/4 of the testimony is on the basis of one witness, right? Because really, you can't divide up Rav Yashiv from signature. So therefore, he's half, plus he's half of the other guy. So he's doing 3/4 of the testimony, and each witness has to do half of the testimony. Right? Okay. The reason why that's so is because you're learning this in Makos right now. Makos Davov, the first Tosis there says that two of the Eidus by Eidim Mominus. It's not my Bekias, I'm learning in the afternoon. The Eidus by Eidim Mominus is comprised of two witnesses who could each create a Shvuah. Right? Because one aid in Mominus creates a Shvuah. So therefore it has to be that each witness has its own relevancy for Shvuah, and independently, and here clearly it's not the case, because the Rav Yashiv witness can, but the other witness can only do it based on Rav Yashiv, so that's what comes up to be 3/4 of the testimony. Okay? Now, Amar Rabbi Yudan, I read all the lines till the fifth line. I didn't skip any lines. Skipped a word here and there, because they were redundant, but not lines. Amar Rabbi Yudan, Rabbi Yudan says, V'yos, is this always good? V'yos means, is this right? Now, things like this, let me tell you what he's going to do before he does it inside, because it's not so clear if you read inside what he's doing. The Gilead Ephraim explains what he's doing. Before the Netzdoikim were Mekalkel, when did we assume that they were kosher? So we assumed that before the Netzdoikim Mekalkel, that anybody who came to testify, who looked Jewish, was Jewish, and from, we accept his testimony. But that's only the words about to say if he came from a city which is mostly Jewish. Because then go after Rove, and he's assumed to be a kosher yid, right? What if he came from a city which is mostly Goyish? What would you say then?
He needs an aid?
Yeah. How many?
One.
No. So in that case, the Gemara is about to say needs two. Because that which we require, the only time one is enough is when it's only a chumra which we had. Because we would say Mikra Din, according to strict letter of the law, one is that he doesn't need any witnesses to testify that he's a good guy, because he himself comes from a Jewish city, so he's a good kosher Jew. So in that case, since we're machmir, it's our chumra, we require only one witness. But he comes from a treif city, a goyish city, right? And maybe he's a goy, maybe he's not a kosher witness. So then you want to use him even before the takana, you need two witnesses. Okay? So ilu shnayim shiyotzim yirachas sheruba akum. If two people came, two witnesses came for Eidus HaChodesh, for a city which is mostly goyim, going to Ador Susita, Susita, like the city of Susita. What was named after the city of Susita? It's a modern Israeli trivia question. It's a brand of car produced in Israel, which was called the Susita. You ever heard of the Susita? It was a car ahead of its time, that it was made of fiberglass. It was not made out of metal. I don't think they make them anymore. I think they were a miserable failure. But in any event,
Now they're Saturns,
right. So if you don't know, does Susita like Susita? So Echad Hakomas Clear and Oso Shu Yisrael. Whether he's a guy that everybody recognizes he's a Jew, or Bechot Eno de Makiro, nobody knows, the people don't know, Chavero Makiro, and his friend does know him, Chavero Maushi Asakech Meshuk Lahoyda Love, can his friend become a witness upon him to testify upon him? You can't say that. If you say that, then all the testimony comes out as miskaima 1:8. So therefore, we don't trust it over there. And here too, if you know, even if they both come from when they both come from a goyish city, even though one is known to be a Jew, right? It's again Yavrav Yashif, right? Who comes from a goyish city, like Chicago, right? It's a goyish city. Let's say Reb Aaron comes to testify, right? So everybody knows Reb Aaron's Jewish. And the other guy who comes is Chveis, Jay Reinsdorfer, right? So he's Jewish, but who knows he's Jewish, right? Some postulators anyway, but let's say, right? So can Reb Aaron testify in him that he's Jewish, right? So in that we say, no, he can't testify in that, because then, again, you'd be relying on one witness for most of the testimony. But in that case, as I said, the Gilyon Ephraim says, it's clear that you need two witnesses, not just one. Again, because they're coming from a place where there's no chazok, and there's Yisrael Kosher, you need to have two witnesses. Okay? Tavitzin, we learned over there. Amalei Mamamune. And once on the topic of testimony, we're going to finish early tonight, guys. I'm sorry. Tavitzin, we learned over there. Amalei Mamamune. If the person, this is in Seder of Yuma, Zavod of Yom Kippur, right? So it says that the guy in charge would say to somebody who's on the lookout tower, Suru, go and see Megiyaz Man Shechita, the time Shechita came. When was the time Shechita, Yitzhak? When was the time Shechita?
When the
whole
east was lit up.
The whole east was lit up, right? Right? So the question is, so Megiyaz, if it comes, it's the right time. Haromer bar koi. You would say that the light has come. Mao bar koi. It says bar ki here, but in Bavli it says bar ki. Barekis. One of the precious stones in the Chosho is called the Barekis. So I guess it was like an orange, radiant stone. So therefore, that's the language you would use. Barekis. Maybe it was bluish. I don't know. Because I guess the sky looks blue in the early morning. Whatever, it's the color of the early morning sky. Talmud Army, above it, they said Barak is not the language of that precious stone, but Baraka, Barak in modern Hebrew is lightning, right? So it means illuminated, right? It means Haner Manara. Haner Manara is Aramaic for there's illumination in the eastern sky. So in any event, the Shiloh is like this. It's a cute question. You got to give the Ushami credit for this one. The Ushami asked, this guy, the lookout on the watchtower, why do we trust him to say it's light? He's an Eid Echad. He's one witness. How do we trust him? It's a good question, right? How do we trust him? So says Yerushalmi, very interesting answer. Shani Yochel, here it's different. It should be Sha'at, not She'enat. Sha'at Yochel Lamar Olav. It's what we call in the lingo Mide Dika Livrurei. We can check him out. We can see if he's lying or not. So by Mita Dikli Vrurei, by something which we can check out, we rely on one aid. Right? So because we can check out, so therefore he's not going to lie. He's afraid to lie because he knows you can check him out and disprove him. Says the Gemara, the Chash Loimar. Wait a minute. Let's be afraid. Adu holy v'nofi kumanara. By the time the guy is going to check him out, remember, the lookout is standing there in the tower. So we ask him, is it light? He says, yeah, it's light. So why should you trust? Because we're afraid, because he's afraid to lie, because we're going to check him out. But then I check him out, we have to send somebody all the way up the watchtower after him. Maybe by the time the guy gets up to the watchtower, it'll be light, Taka. And we'll never be able to catch him in this deception, right? So how do we trust him earlier? Says the Gemara, a very interesting answer. The matter is recognizable, meaning if you have a Kohen who's smart, he'll go up there and notice by the degree of lightness at the light in the horizon how much earlier could possibly become light. In other words, if you have a Kohen who's astronomically inclined, he can tell whether the guy, when he said, let's say 5 minutes ago there was light, whether it's possible he was telling the truth or not. Okay? Amar Eid Echad, Noad Ishponi B'Shabbos. If one witness comes and says, so-and-so is born on Shabbos, now, he's not yet an Ish, he's really a little kid, but Moli no Salpif. You can give a bris milah to the kid on the basis of this one witness. Why? Because we say it's Isurin, because Shabbos is Isurin, and we rely on one witness, right? This is an interesting application. The halacha is that a kid has to be 9 months old in order to 9 months old in order to in order to nine not the kid the fetus has to be 9 months old in order to be able to carry it, otherwise it's mukta, right? So if the now I'm looking at the carbonate, I think I have a much better shot than he does. I'll tell you the carbonate is shot, but now I think I'm thinking I have a much smoother shot. Carbonate's shot is that this guy comes and says that the kid was conceived 9 months ago. And Chashechum Otsoy Shabbos, when the kid was born, he's already fully formed. So next Shabbos, we're allowed to move the kid. He doesn't become mukta because he's considered to be a full-term viable baby. Even though an 8-month-term baby is not, a 9-month-term baby is. So therefore, the next Shabbos, we can move him. That's the carbonate lens. But that's difficult. I think the pshat is a much more simple pshat. You have a kid who's taka mukta on Shabbos because he's born in the eighth month. And in the old days, they wouldn't carry a kid born in the 8th month because he's considered to be stillborn, even though he's alive. But on Motzai Shabbos, you'll have to carry him. There's no Isser. So I think what it's saying is that if a guy comes in and says, okay, Shabbos is over, we believe him, and now we can go and do Melacha based on that guy. In other words, we just have to take the example of a kid, because we just talked about a kid of Bris Mila a moment ago. But really, in all matters, in other words, someone comes from outside and says, I saw 3 stars in the sky of the necessary magnitude, so we believe him, and now we can be Mechal El Shabbos, even though we ourselves didn't see that. That's also part of the Eid Echad Neman business, okay? Because we can go outside and check. We don't have to go out and check. We can rely on that person, okay? Rabbi Ami Amar Metaldi Apuma de Mal Yasa. Rabbi Ami says that you're allowed to carry a kid and say that he's fully born, can't go to the carbon aid of shot. Metaldi, you can say a kid is fully formed on Shabbos. In other words, a kid is born and we don't know if it's a 9-month-old baby. We want to know if we can carry him on Shabbos. So we can, if the Malyasa, which are the midwives, they change gears a little bit to Malviyasa, the ones who accompany the Yoledis, since they say he's a fully formed kid, we believe them. Even the midwives are allowed to, are believed on that cheshbon. Okay? Rabbi Ami Metaltal Pum de Malyasa, Rabbi Masnai Metaltal Evrosi de Zara. Now, nobody knows exactly what it means, but I have my own shot, which is Evrosi are Evorim, limbs. Zahara means they illuminate, meaning they're fully, if you can tell, he held that he was an expert enough doctor that he could tell that this is a fully formed child. And therefore, once he saw the limbs were fully formed, he didn't have to go and inquire, is it 8 month baby, 9 month baby? He would just go and carry the kid on Shabbos. Okay? Rabbi Ami mol al pi nashim. Rabbi Ami gave bris mila on Shabbos, on the basis of the say-so of women. Hashar Adarman, who said, Shimshon Shabbos, also sees, who say, they saw when the baby was born, the sun was still out, in, I guess, in the western sky over Susita, right, which was probably a city in the west of the Galilee, right? So when they, if they would say the sun was still out, so he would be mal the kid the following Shabbos, and we line these women to be mechal Shabbos again. Eidechon and Bisur means even women, right? Makiro, now the word makiro is redundant here, makiro, but it's the same idea. Means, remember we said you have to have a guy to come to vouch for you, right? So can the guy who comes to vouch, can he be Mechal Shabbos? If they have to travel to Shalom Shabbos, does the voucher guy come Mechal Shabbos too? Makiru ma'al chai lovitz to Shabbos. Nishmiru min adot. Let's bring a... Hey, Dachot Ba'usha. Yes, there was a mice when I went down. It's an amazing mice. Oh, as Rabbi Roy would say, they say we're getting in so much trouble. Ma'al Shirati went down to testify al Eid Echot Ba'usha and a certain witness for Eidus HaChodesh. In Usha. Usha was one of the places the Zanish was. So he went down to testify this guy was an okay guy. This Beryl Shmerel was a valid guy. Rabbi Noroi was a big Tana. He went to testify. They didn't need me. There were guys there who could have identified Beryl Shmerel as being a good witness. So why'd I go? Ela Bikashte, I was looking for a ruse. Lahat Mil Pnei Chaveri to go meet my friends on Shabbos. Isn't that amazing? So he used this, he said, he used this trick in order to have to get to the Sanhedrin on Shabbos to say hello to all his friends. So in any event, even though it's an amazing statement, Lamaisa, we do see one thing from here. What we see is that the Eid HaMakiro, the guy who's coming to recognize him, can go meet Mechal Shabbos. Okay, so one line says tomorrow. Ma kiyukul avatam. It's really a new sugi. We'll have to come back to it tomorrow night. But just to say, reach home the base. Ma kiyukul avatam. On what was the ruination, right? Which the Tzedokim ruined. Shoyu omi matzeres la'achar Shabbos. The Tzedokim, if you recall, they hold Shavuos always comes out on a Sunday. Sunday. Did they machra? Because they say Pesach is always. They always count Sfiras Omer from a Sunday, right? Regardless of when first day Pesach is, they don't count from after first day Pesach. They count from after Shabbos Pesach. That's how they always count.
So
it doesn't have to be because they will wait till Shabbos Chol Maiden to start Sfira. But that's the point. If Rosh Chodesh was going to come out on a Shabbos, that would be good for them, right? Because then the first day Pesach comes out on Shabbos, and the second day Pesach would coincide the day we start counting the Omer would be the same day they start counting the Omer. So they had a very strong negiah that even if the moon was not seen on that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on that Shabbos, they would be Mechal El Shabbos to come to Basin to say they had seen the moon in order to be able to then have the calendar work out in accordance with their position. Right, so that's what he says here. They will leave the night before. They will leave the night before, right? With the assumption it was mekudesh, even though it was actually a lie, right? They would just say, "Oh yeah, we saw the moon the night before." Meaning Friday night, in order to make that Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, even though it was actually a lie. Okay? So says Mara, if that's the case, Miat al Nisan lo yikablun, al shayr yarchi kablun. So the only problem is with Nisan. So let's accept them all the other months, because only because of this issue. So Rabbi Yisrael Rebun, Ikar kalkuloson min Ador havos. Their primary kalkulo was from Ador. Now, what exactly that means is a good question, but I didn't prepare what it means, so we'll have to see what it means tomorrow night.